Blues, reggae, alt country, Americana, jazz, pop, it's all good on 95.1, The One.
The One.
Hey, good morning, and welcome back to a Raider Rap. Good morning, everyone. How's everyone treating you? How's everyone being treated, I should say? What a fantastic day we have in the neighborhood today. It is actually going to be kind of lovely. It's going to be a little bit on the windy side. It's going to freeze today. Yeah, we might get up to about 32 sometime today, which will be kind of awesome in its own right. And it looks like kind of a crazy week going on for us this week. Sunny skies, a high of about 32 today. That's it. The wind's out of the north-northwest, but they're going to gust at about 25 miles an hour. Not as crazy as yesterday. I don't know if you've ever driven down, whether you're driving down 35 or 52 or any of that, but some of those gusts, 55, 60 miles an hour, it was interesting. It was kind of a fun little deal. You know, it was almost like you're in some sort of a NASCAR race there for a little while, fighting the wind. But for tonight, looks like mostly clear skies, cooling off to about 14. That's right. We're not quite out of the woods with this wintry weather yet. Sunday, sunny skies, a high of 32, and then a chance of 20 for tomorrow night. And for Monday, looks like sunny skies, 41. Seems like a nice, segue into the week. And then for Monday night, cooling off to around 32. That's when Tuesday and Wednesday kind of roll in. Thursday, we got some rain and some sleet and some snow and some mix of a little bit of everything. A little pea soup going on over there Tuesday through Thursday, mostly cloudy. Thursday snow is likely, mostly cloudy with a high of around 36. Chance of precipitation is about 70%. They don't tell you exactly how much snow they anticipate, but nonetheless, a chance of snow throughout the week. But hey, today is going to be absolutely magnificent. It's going to be beautiful, 32 degrees, and plenty of wonderful sunshine. We're at about 19. I actually make that about 22 degrees right now. I don't know about you, but when you got this much sunshine out there, it just makes me want to get out and run. Doesn't it make you get out and run there, Tyler Bailo, head coach of the track coach?
Absolutely.
You are the head coach of the track team, obviously, and you had practice today. And I guess to me, when did they start doing Saturday practices and things like that? Is that a coach thing or is that a team thing?
Yeah, I think for cross country, our program for cross country has done that for several years, and a lot of our distance athletes, they just need some extra mileage in throughout the week, and Saturday is a great day to get up, run with your friends. Not everybody's cup of tea, but those distance athletes are definitely go-getters, and it's something that we encourage as coaches for them to get that Saturday practice in, even though it's optional. A lot of our sprinters and throwers don't have practice on Saturdays. They're just kind of resting and recovering from the week. So to be that distance runner, you kind of have to have a different mindset and mentality and be willing to, you know, get up at the crack of dawn and get out on the blacktop.
So if I'm a pole vaulter, I didn't have to get up this morning?
Exactly.
I should have learned how to pole vault.
Choose your events wisely, right?
Right, exactly. So that's more of, for the distance types. So sprinters, high jumpers, hurdle, stuff like that, it's optional. Do you see a lot more kids coming out?
Yeah. This year we're up to about 60 athletes, and that's kind of recovering from where we were before COVID started. I think with COVID, some athletes were either, you know, scared off, or just everybody had their own reasons not to come out in the past few years. But we've definitely like to see our numbers creep up into the 60s, and if we can ever break 70, that would be awesome to be able to compete with some of the bigger teams around us, like the Lakevilles and Farmingtons, and even the Rochester schools too.
That seems like a lot of people. 70. That's like herding cats. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you. Yep.
So I mean, that's a lot. That's how many events do you have? I mean, I know there's several, but how many events would you run in a normal meet?
Yeah, in track and field, there's 18 different events that high schoolers can choose from, and then each athlete can participate in 4 events. They can compete in a combination of either 3 field events or 3 races, and then one of the other. I guess I kind of phrased that a little poorly, but a total of 4 events, you can't have more than 3 races or 3 field events in that combination.
And any particular reason why that is? I mean, I know guys when I was in track, they could run really fast, but there's no way they're high jumping. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of that, the high school league makes the rules on that, and it's all about the safety of the athlete and just not wanting kids to overtrain, especially for the distance kids. They implemented a rule a few years ago that said you can't run more than 2 races over a half mile or 800 meters, and just really trying to protect the kids and their safety and not have anybody be overtrained or overworked.
Would you say that your distance runners then, do they do more field stuff? Are they going to do the high jump? Are they going to do the pole vault? Are they going to do the discus? Are they going to do some of that stuff? Or
every once in a while you get an athlete that does. There's been a lot of 800 runners who have tried long jump and a few who have done high jump for us in the past. It's a little less rare, but it definitely happens. It takes a special athlete to be able to, you know, go out and run those 2 miles at a good clip, and then also be able to have the legs left in them to jump. But it does happen, and we're very open to letting kids try different events and see what fits their athleticism and their kind of athletic abilities the best.
So tell us a little bit about yourself there, Tanner. Myself in particular, I don't think you and I have had the pleasure of talking in the past. So let's talk a little bit of Tyler. Where are you from? Where did you get your coaching start? Where did you get your college start? And, is this, coaching track? Was that something on your radar when you were a young man?
Yeah, so I grew up near Mankato for through middle school, and then I moved to Prior Lake as a high schooler, and I competed in track from 7th grade through high school, through graduation, and did a little bit of everything. And I think that really, when I say a little bit of everything, I did some field events, I did some sprinting and some distance throughout my career. And so I think being exposed to all of the different events that track has to offer, I really gained an appreciation and a love for the sport. And I didn't think I would ever coach track when I was necessarily in high school, but I always wanted to be a coach. Most of my coaching background was in basketball, Coming out of college, I coached for about 7 or 8 years in Iowa. I went to Luther College, where I played a little bit of basketball, too. But track was kind of an afterthought for me until I came to Northfield, and I started coaching under Scott Peterson. He gave me a chance to coach the high school jumpers and kind of fell back in love with the sport. And ever since, it's been 100 miles per hour, just dedicated to track and trying to grow the program here. And it's been a lot of fun, for sure.
So I recall when I was in like in seventh grade, and we didn't actually have a formidable baseball team at the time. So our options were track pretty much in the springtime. And, you know, you show up. Do you as a coach, you just kind of like analyze the people? You just kind of like, okay, guys, okay, get on the line there. All right, now run to the end. And then you time them and you go, okay, this guy's a sprinter. This guy's a long distance. This guy definitely. No. He needs to be thrown shot put. Yeah. How did you make the determination? Then at what point do you as a coach start going, okay, you know what? You might be a good distance runner. You might be a good sprinter. You might be a good long jumper. You know, how do you, I mean, as a kid, you're just like, you're just out there and you're just going to do everything, right? You're just going to try it. You don't care.
Yes, definitely in middle school. In middle school, definitely, like you're describing, our middle school program has athletes do everything. Each day at practice, they go through kind of stations. So they get a throw, they get a jump, they get a run, sprints and distance. And figure out what they want to do so that by the time they're in ninth grade, they kind of have maybe a favorite event or they've seen some success in seventh and eighth grade, which helps us kind of a lot as high school coaches when we say on the first day of practice, all right, throwers and distance and sprinters here and here and here. A lot of the kids know where to go, but you're right. It can be hard to narrow it down for a ninth grader who might still be growing. So we do a couple of things. One thing we do, you know, you've seen like the NFL combine, where they do time the 40s and the vertical jump. And so we do some of that. And we, with those tests, we're able to kind of nudge an athlete to a certain direction and say, we think you could be most successful here or here. And then a lot of times we're wrong on that. Unfortunately, we've had athletes in the past that we always tell our high schoolers about, that, you know, for 2 or 3 years of their high school career, they're a distance athlete. And by the time they're a senior, we realize the writing was on the wall the whole time. They should have been a sprinter, and they can switch events, you know. And sometimes it's in the middle of the season, and sometimes it's from year to year. But that's probably one of the most fun aspects of being a track coach is seeing kids try new things and sometimes be very successful at it and sometimes fail, and then you can learn and grow from those different setbacks as well. So great question, and definitely something we're in the middle of trying to figure out in these first couple of weeks of track practice too.
And we have started. I do know that, I mean, you've been out, and last week seemed to be a little bit, it looked like it was going to be kind of a nicer week, and then it kind of changed towards the end. And then this week again, you know, lots of wind, a lot of crazy weather and rain and different stuff. Next week is supposed to be somewhat similar to that. Do you spend a lot more time inside the gymnasium during this early period? Do you spend it outside? You just try to work through the weather as a whole and just try to, you know, get the best conditions you can. How do you go about your practice sessions?
Yeah, another great question. And track in Minnesota is a funny sport because, yeah, every day can be a brand new, especially in the spring, a brand new recipe. Can be 70 like it was Monday, and then the next day it's 30. So we are constantly shifting, like, the location where we're practicing, whether it's in outdoor on our track, or it might be in the middle school gym we've been utilizing a little bit. When baseball and softball aren't in the high school gym, we're able to sneak in there sometimes. And then we spend a lot of early season practices in the weight room, trying to get our strength improved so we can prevent some injuries. And then this week we tried to do a pool workout for a lot of our runners, just to switch things up, stop the pounding on their shins, and do a little injury prevention that happen in the pool and doing some active kind of water aerobics type of stuff. So, yeah, we definitely try to utilize all the spaces we have offered to us and grateful that we have some different places that are willing to open their doors to us as well.
How do you, throughout the school district. From a staffing situation, so I know growing up, yeah, like I said, when I was in track for the couple of years that I was in, you know, I ran the 110 low hurdles. And so once the coach taught me pretty much how to get over the hurdle, and he goes, okay, now practice. And basically he left me alone. And everybody else, you know, he worked with the guys that he knew were going to probably win and compete. But guys like me, you know, I'd participate in the meets. I would. I mean, I took a couple of fifths, yeah. A couple of fourths, you know, but I could come out on the, and I don't know if they still use a gun or not, but they used to use guns and starting pistol, and I could always beat the pistol. So I'd come out of the chute and I'd be the first hurdle before everyone. Little did anyone else know is I didn't have a lot of speed. So therefore, by the time I got to the second hurdle, I was already in third place. And then, you know. And then I just fought for what I could get at the end. So, but I didn't spend a lot of practice time. You know what I mean? It's not like we had a coach and the assistant coach. That was it. And when you talk about 60, 70, 80 kids, it's kind of tough to, you know, coach everybody. How do you guys go about that?
Yeah. So we do practice. We're able to utilize both the male or the boys staff and the girls staff so that we have more coaches together, and then we just designate which coaches are in an event. So yeah, you had your hurdle coach back in the day, and so we have a hurdle coach, a sprint coach, a jumps coach, a throw coach, and a distance coach. So we do have, we are very grateful that we have several coaching positions, but each day we might have a different schedule. So some days a sprinter who also hurdlers might be sprinting, and then the next day they're going to go to their hurdle practice and just focus on that. And then the next day, if they happen to also jump, they go just focus on their jumping. But it's definitely a lot of juggling of who's where on which days. And, there's a lot of kind of behind the scenes before practice starts to just get that all, in order. But a couple of the coaches on our coaching staff are just excellent organizers and very flexible. We got Coach Bubba Sullivan is a sprint coach for us this year, and Bryn Stellner, who comes from the girls' basketball background coaching. They're just outstanding coaches, and you give them something to work on, and they're just great communicators and able to work with any of the kids that we throw at them. And so, yeah, having a staff that's flexible and willing to change on a daily basis helps with that, but got to be ready to juggle each and every day who's coming at you, for sure.
So Bubba must have got tired of being retired or what?
Well, exactly, and we're grateful that he did, because we love having him on staff. Sure.
I got to believe, as somebody who taught football for all those years and the conditioning for that, I mean, I'm going to guess he's a sprinter's coach.
Yes. Exactly.
Okay. Yep. All right. That makes perfect sense. It really does. Our head coach here today for the track team is Tyler Balow. Tyler, thanks for joining me this morning on the Raider Wrap. It was nice to get to know you. Tell me a little. What's your expectations? Who's your guns this year? Who's your big ones? Who's coming out of the who's coming out of the chute fast? Who's going to be our fast? Who's going to be our contenders? How high are we going to high jump this year? What's going on?
Well, we're hoping for big things. It's very early, but we're hoping that we can get a few relays through state. The 4x8 relay is coming back from state last year. AJ Reister is on that team, so you know him very well. And he and Nathan Amundsen and Will Bowmaster and Brecken Riley and Sam Fallon, those are a whole bunch of names you'll hear in the mid-distance this year. For sprints, we've got Colin Graff and Braden Brackey, who are going to be some of our faster athletes on the team. And then we also have the Devin and Austin Jacks and Zach Edwards. They're not triplets. Two of them are twins, but one of them is just a lookalike, and those three are really going to hold down the jumps for us. They're all about 6'4", 6'5", and all blonde hair. We call them the triplets, and they're excellent jumpers. So we're expecting some big things from them this year, too.
Awesome. So when's our first meet?
Yeah. As you were giving that forecast, I was getting a little nervous. We're supposed to have a meet on Tuesday when it's 40 degrees and windy, but that would be down at Faribault at Bruce Smith Stadium, and we'd be facing off against some local teams, Faribault, Cannon Falls, TCU from over in Montgomery, and a few other schools.
So yeah,
we're looking forward to that.
Last time I checked, there's no trees. So that's going to be wide open. Yeah, 42, breezy, 10 to 20 miles an hour, gust to 30. Just hope it's at your back at the starting line, right?
Yes. Gotta love Minnesota track.
not your face. That won't do anything for your track time, that's for sure. Coach, thanks for joining us. Glad we got to get you on the program this morning. We enjoyed it, and we look forward to talking to you again in the season. We wish you the best of luck, and good luck to you, and good luck to your entire coaching staff, and, of course, good luck to all the athletes. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right, that is head coach Tyler Balow, head coach of the North Hill Raiders track team. When we come back, we're going golfing, baby. Yeah, that's right. Well, you're not going golfing. I'm probably not going golfing, but somebody's going golfing. We're going to talk a little bit of golf. How about that? Mel Miller will join us here on the Raider Wrap. You're listening to the Raider Wrap right here on 95.1, the one KYMN. Stick around.
Real estate can be difficult to navigate. Thankfully, Professional Pride Realty's website is packed with information to make buying or selling a home in the Northfield area as simple as possible. ProfessionalPrideRealty.com has the most current listing information, including price reductions and real-time market statistics. Customize the map-based search to streamline your desired location. You can even save your searches and specific homes for later viewing. Home sellers can learn about their property's value before putting their houses on the market. When you're ready to start your home buying or selling journey, Professional Pride Realty would be happy to assist you.
Heritage Dental Care in Northfield is a general dental clinic specializing in a variety of dental procedures and services. Comfort and convenience are the hallmarks of Heritage Dental Care. We take the time with our patients to explain your treatment and inform you of additional preventative care options. New patients and emergencies are welcome 5 days a week, Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Make an appointment for your next dentist appointment from any of our dentists, Dr. David Brass, Dr. David Bach, Dr. Amy Finn, or Dr. Michael Thompson. Learn more about us at heritagedentalcare.net.
Hello, I'm Marty Benson with Community Resource Bank. I'm here to tell you that whether you're looking for money management tools, planning to purchase your first home, or building your savings for retirement, Community Resource Bank is the bank for you. We promise to provide personal banking that is actually personal. That's what makes us so special. So stop in, sit a while. The coffee pot is always on. Community Resource Bank with offices in Northfield, Cannon Falls, and Roseville. Let's bank together. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
You already know H&R Block does taxes, but you may not know you can get expert help in person or virtually, or that our tax pros average 10 years of experience. You can even request the same tax pro every year, and your biggest possible refund is always guaranteed. At H&R Block, help is here. All tax situations are different. Not everyone gets a refund. Limitations apply. See hrblock.com/guarantees.
H&R Block, 1300 Bullenbacher Drive in Northfield. Open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Sunday, noon to 4.
Fall is a great time to get that landscaping project, home remodel, or repair done, and with interest rates still low, you can do it all with a home loan from Hometown Credit Union. Hometown Credit Union offers a variety of home loan options for refinancing, renovating, new construction, and purchasing your first home or forever home. Whatever your home loan needs are, Hometown Credit Union can make them happen with rates and terms to fit. Learn more and apply online at hometowncu.coop. Equal Housing Lender. From the team at Hometown Credit Union, go Raiders!
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to Raider Wrap right here on 95.1, the one. KYMN, Jamie LaRue along with AJ Reister. We've got great interviews coming up for you this morning yet that we just heard from Tyler Balow, head coach for the track team. If you want to hear back, if maybe you missed some of that, you'd like to hear back some of that interview, you can catch us on KYMN Radio. Net. All you got to do is go to programs and click on the Raider Wrap and then click today's date. We'll have that on the air at the end of the program today. So again, thanks to Tyler for joining us this morning. Mel Miller will join us very, very shortly, head coach of the girls golf team. AJ will go one-on-one with Aiden Hales and Owen Lemkuhl. They are the state final participants there at state. Aiden, I believe, set a school record over the state tournament there. So we'll have a little one-on-one with them coming up in Meet the Raider this morning. And we're going to have mostly sunny skies. It's going to be a pleasant day today, a little bit on the breezy side. 25-mile-an-hour gusts out of the northwest. A high of only 32, but plenty of sunshine tonight. Clear skies down to 14. Tomorrow, sunny skies and 32. Winds out of the north, very light and variable. So, yay. Beautiful, pleasant day again tomorrow. Great day to get out and do some yard work or working or walking or who knows. Throw up the hammock. 32 degrees between a couple of trees. You can't go wrong, can you? For tomorrow night, looks like mostly clear, low around 20. Monday, sunny skies and a high of 41. And then for Monday night, cooling off to only 32. And then on Tuesday, that's where you get a little chance of some rain rolling in. Mostly cloudy, a high of only 42. But we're going to have gusts out of the southeast at about 25 to 30. Miles an hour. Chance of rain on Tuesday is about 40%. And then for Wednesday, rain likely, 70% chance, high of around 40. And then for Wednesday night, looks like night time, there's going to be a little bit of rain and snow possible, mixed with sleet, and then turning to snow in the overnight. Doesn't really say how much of snow we're going to get, but the chance of precipitation is about 70%, cooling off to around 28. So chances of it sticking around are pretty slim, depending on the direction of where that storm goes. But we got plenty of sunshine and 22 in the valley. Hot dang. 10:27 on a Saturday morning right here on the Raider Wrap. I'm hoping Mel will have joined us. Mel, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Awesome. There he is. There's the head coach. And I'm sure you're busy doing a lot of different things. Golf season just upon us, just kind of started here. Temperature's been a little crazy, been up and down, got a lot of wind, we had a lot of rain, different stuff like that. What do you do differently, or how do you start out each new year with a new golf program?
Well, so far this year we've been inside the dome, working on using some wedges, doing some short chips, 20, 30 yards, that's about all we can get in. Also, we've been working a little bit with a 7-iron, hitting it into a net, just trying to get the swing memory back from last year. So,
what?
Having the kids take some full swings and getting the memory of, oh, okay, that's how I swing the club.
Okay. What do you mean?
It's a lot of repetition.
Don't you just, take it out of the bag and you just go? Isn't that how you do that?
Well, not really. Not when you're trying to get the swing as close as you can to perfect. And then you have some younger girls that we're just trying to teach the swing to. So, and that helps when you can hit a full club like a 7-iron into a net. You can actually see what the ball's going to do, even though you only get to see it fly about 2 yards. But at least you get the chance to see, you kind of know which direction it's going, and then you can help them with direction, look at their arm placement, see what they're doing. Are they moving their shoulders, which in turn move their hips? And then that's where you get your power, when you can transfer the weight to the back leg and then get it moving forward to the front leg.
Okay. So
we work on that a lot.
There is some, this is not all Happy Gilmore then. There is some technique involved.
No, it isn't. Yeah, there is a lot of technique involved. So, and some of our better girls, they do take lessons during the winter, and that helps them be prepared, because you could tell which girls have been hitting balls all winter long. And most of them are just hitting into a net or maybe hitting 20, 30-yard shots in a dome-type setting. And a couple of them have been playing with the simulators. So they hit into a screen, and they can actually kind of see how far the ball is flying and which way it's going. And I did have a couple girls during spring break that did get out and play some golf down in Nevada. So they played around down there. So
lucky.
It just depends. Yeah, they were lucky. Their parents took them down there, and they got a chance to play.
And it looks like this week's going to be a tough one, too. You don't have any meets coming up this week, do you?
No, our first meet is 2 weeks from Monday, so hopefully by then we have gotten on the course a few times. I know Northfield's not open yet, and the other course that we do practice at, Willigers, they may open on Friday, but temperatures are not going to be good this week. It's going to be cold.
It is. It is going to be cold. I want to say I saw a par three open last week. Up in Golden Valley, I think it was, they opened up a par three, and I was rather shocked. But there was snow. There was snow still along the fair, you know, along, not only in the fairways, but along the you know, sides and what in the first cut and whatnot. But they got the snow off the greens. Is that so? You know, you work around that industry a lot. I mean, is that good, bad, and different for golf courses to maybe get out too soon, or how's that work?
Yeah, it's not good to get out too soon because they can't mow greens yet because the sun's not powerful enough and not warm enough for the grass to grow. So you end up with, you know, it's kind of shaggy green, so that doesn't help you very much. And if it's really cold in the morning, you don't want people out there if there's frost because then you kill the grass if you're walking on it. It's better if we can get the temperatures only to like 40 at night and maybe get up to 50. And if it's 50, it's great. Even if it's 55, it's even better. But as long as we can keep it from freezing overnight, that's the best.
Well, let's take a quick gander. Tuesday night, 34. That's good. Wednesday night, 28. Oops. Okay, a little low there. Thursday night, looks like about 24. Bummer. Friday, well, sunny. High of 35 on Friday. Hey. Ouch. Looks like a tough week. Looks like they'll be practicing indoors.
Tough week.
So
right now we're hoping we're going to get out Monday and try to be outdoors and hit some balls outside so you can maybe hit the ball 100 yards. Because we'll practice at the football practice field at the high school Monday. Right now we're thinking that way. If it's a little too cold, we'll go in the dome for an hour. We're hoping the same thing. Get outside. And we kind of know Wednesday we're shot. We're inside. And Thursday we're probably going to do some refresh of the rules. We'll go through the rules. Look at a couple videos of possible rules, infractions, or to avoid the infractions. So and that, because we'll probably be indoors on Thursday. We don't have any dome time available, so it'll probably be classroom time on Thursday.
Okay. So when you're doing this stuff over there at the football field, and do you guys rent a clown face and put it on a barrel, and then every time they hit there, they get a free game or something?
No, actually, we kind of put out some hula hoops out there, and then we have them aim for the hula hoops. So give them something to aim for. But we want them to just to get looking at some full shots with a wedge or a 9-iron so we can actually see the direction of the ball so we can watch when they're making contact which way the ball is going. Is it going left? Is it going right? Is it kind of have a slice to it, or is it hooking? So then this will help us kind of determine what we need to do with the girls to get that swing so it's straight.
So the ball's
flying straight off the club.
I look at something like if I'm out there on a practice range and I pull out a club and I'm able to hit, let's say I'm hitting it that 125, 115, 120, 25, and I'm putting it close, whatever it is. But I may, let's see, how do I put this? I'm using a club that maybe I'm clubbed too high or clubbed too low, but because it's comfortable, I just use it because I can get it to that distance and I can stick it close so that I feel good about that. But necessarily, is that the club I'm supposed to be using? How do you make that determination with the girls? I mean, you just say, okay, you should be hitting this club. You should be hitting this club 100 yards. Here, use this club. And then they hit with it. And then... But then if you hand them maybe a different club or something like that, then it changes. How does that all work into the dynamics of figuring out who's hitting what and how they're hitting?
Well, everybody's different. Every single player is different. Or some girls will hit a wedge, 50, 60 yards, and that's the best they can do. Other girls will hit it 100 and 120. Some of the boys will hit wedges 130, 140. So you have to work with each kid is figure out how far they're hitting each club. So when they're on the driving range, we want them to, you know, if they're aiming for 100 yards, okay, are you, which club are you getting to 100 yards? Which club are you getting past 100 yards? So that they kind of have an idea. I mean, most girls, it is difficult for them to hit 5 iron, 4 irons, 3 irons. It's hard to hit those clubs. It's hard for me to hit those clubs. I'd much rather for a girl, if she hits a drive 120 yards, if she hits a 7 iron 100 yards, she's 220 out. You know, most par fours for girls are right around 300 yards. Well, now she's only like 80 yards away or inside 80 yards. So now she can chip up, maybe get on the green, 2 putt, she's made a bogey.
Right.
And we try to tell them, you know, if you play 18 holes and you make 18 bogeys, you just shot 90. 90 is a good score. You know, I would take, you get 490s, it's 360, we're winning every match.
Right.
You know, so that's what you want to work with each of the kids so they know how far they can hit them. And the better players who take private lessons and have played a lot, they know how far they hit those clubs. So it's more, when we get to them, we're trying to get the younger kids some help, trying to work on course management, where you should avoid to hit the ball. Not so much aiming away from water, but aiming, okay, can I carry the water? What club can I hit to carry the water? Or do I need to aim a little bit to the right or left of it so that I'm not flirting with the water? You know, it's trying to stay away from the big scores, trying to, you know, if I play bogey golf, I'm really happy.
What about the young person who sees her counterpart, you know, pull out a 7 iron and hits the ball, and then they pull out like you said a 4 or 5 iron, but you know what, they want to hit it like that other person hit that 7 iron, so they pull out their 7 iron and they give it all they got. For whatever reason, they can't hit it. What do you do with the mindset with that? What do you do? How do you approach that from a coaching standpoint? Maybe they're even, you know, they're evenly the same size, everything, right? But the one person hits that 7 iron like nobody's business, and the other person needs a 5 iron. How do you convince them that that's okay, and don't worry about it. You'll figure it out.
Yeah, well, I kind of tell them about my own game because I don't hit the ball very far, so I don't worry about what the other people are hitting. I worry about myself. I tell the girls, you need to worry about yourself. Can I keep the ball in play? I'll make it up on the green. If I get on the green and I get 2 putt, maybe I just tied them. If they shot a 5 and I shot a 5, hey, we scored the same. I didn't. They maybe hit a 9 iron in the green and I had to hit a 7 or a 6, but hey, we got the same score.
We're both putting.
It's all about the end result. It's the end result is what we're looking for.
That's right. Drive for show, putt for dough. Roger that.
Yeah, the short game is so important. You know, if you took 2 putts every hole, it's 36 putts, and for most kids, that's really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's professionals are probably going to have 27, 28 putts, but the average golfer is going to have 40.
Right.
You know, a golfer that's a 20 handicap is going to have 40 putts. So if you can get it down to 36, well, heck, you just took 4 shots off your game.
Right. So yeah.
And if you can chip well and putt well, and I mean, for me, when I play myself, I'm only using about 30 putts, but I might take an extra shot to get to the green.
Right.
But I'm 6 under the 2 putt average. And for me, that's going to keep my score right around 80, and that's what I need to do for my game. So when we're working with the girls, we're trying to help them get as low a score as they can, and by doing it with short game emphasis and trying to keep the ball in play, don't overswing, because you can hit the ball with good tempo and a decent swing 200 yards off the tee, where if I swing really hard, I may hit it 225, but it's 40 yards to the right.
Right.
I didn't gain anything.
I feel your pain there, Mel. I definitely feel that pain to the right, especially. So last year, Had a pretty good season, I think. You know, you were able to get out and enjoy the season. Now this year, it's kind of a full, you know, you're going to start at the beginning of the season. Everything looks like it's going to be moving forward. Any standouts this year? Anything we can expect from the 2022 golf team for the girls this year?
Well, you know, last year we were undefeated in the Big Nine Conference. And out of the girls who played last year, I only had one senior. So we have 11 letter winners back. We have the top two score-wise performers in the conference back, because our top two kids were the top two in the conference. We had another girl who finished all conference. She finished 14th. So we have three of the top 14 conference players back. No other school has more than two, and some of them don't have any back. So conference-wise, we're the favorite going in. And we kind of knew that. The girls knew that coming in because we had everybody back. Section-wise, Lakeville North, Lakeville South are perennial the teams to beat. But I think we'll be able to compete with them. So we're looking forward to a really successful season. I'd love to, if we can't get the team to state, I'd love to get two or three girls there. And we have that possibility.
I was going to almost start talking a little smack about the winter season, you know, all these teams going to state, but whew, I don't know. I might have to raise the pedestal here. I mean, yeah, you got 11 returning golfers and, yeah, Big Nine champs last year. This is going to be exciting. This will be fun. The Raiders are going to kick it again in the springtime here. Love it.
Yeah, that's our hope. We plan on being right there.
Awesome. When did you first meet, or projected, I should say?
Our first meet is April 11th. We go to Faribault. And then we have a non-conference meet. We're actually going to host Albert Lea on the 13th.
Okay.
At Northfield. But that's a non-conference because we just added it as an extra meet because we're both looking for another meet to have.
So sure.
We went down there last year in April to play them, and now they're coming up here to play us.
Nice.
So it doesn't count for anything except it's just another match for us.
Sure.
And then the following Monday, we host Winona on the 18th.
Okay. And are all your matches just a one-on-one, or do you guys do like an invitational kind of a deal from time to time?
Well, in the conference, we have two dual meets, and both of our dual meets are right off the bat. The first two Mondays. Then there is three tries where you'll play two other schools, so it'll be three schools competing, and then we have one where it's a quad, so you have four schools competing. So, and they're usually with the same school. So, like, we do go to Rochester, and we'll play Rochester Century and Mankato West there, and we go to Mankato and play Mankato East and Austin there. And Rochester, John Marshall, and Red Wing come to us here in Northfield. And then we go to Owatonna, and we have Owatonna, Albert Lea, Rochester May on ourselves, and that's our quad. And then we have some invitationals that we got into this year. We're playing the New Prague Invitational, which is on the 22nd of April. And then we're going to the Lakeville North Invitational at Brackets Crossing on May 2nd. We host our own invitational at Willinger's Golf Club on the 5th. And then we have an invitational that's Dakota County, all the Dakota County schools. We play that at Emerald Greens in Hastings, and that's on the 13th of May.
Okay.
And then on the 20th and 21st of May, we're actually playing in the Tri-State Invitational, and that's at Bunker Hills.
Nice.
There's a team from North Dakota, a team from Wisconsin, some very good teams from throughout the state that are playing in that one, and that's a two-day event.
And it's the state event, isn't that is that Bunker Hills?
That's at Bunker Hills.
Oh, so
that'll be nice for us to get a chance to see that.
A little warm-up, yeah.
See that course.
There you go, a little peekaboo in behind the stage there. All right, well, Mel Miller is our guest. Mel, congratulations on a fantastic season last year. Good luck on this year. This looks like it's going to be a ton of fun. We'll check in from time to time and get your updates and let you know. You can be our official swing coach. How about that on the Raider app?
All right, sounds good.
All righty. Mel Miller, head coach of the girls' golf team, looking forward to another Big Nine, possibly. Conference champ coming up. Yeah, go Northfield. All right, hold on. We got more of the wrap coming up. A.J. Reister, Meet the Raider, coming up right here on KYMN.
This is Barb from Professional Dental Group of Northfield, letting you know that the doctors and staff of Professional Dental Group are proud to call themselves Northfield Raiders sports fans. Whether scheduling for an implant, mouth guard, or general visit, we look forward to providing you the same exceptional care that Professional Dental Group has delivered the Northfield area for over 45 years. So on behalf of Dr. Becky Johnson, Dr. John Nowak, Dr. Brian Craby, Dr. Tyler Yonke, and Dr. Bo Hoyam, and their staff, go Raiders.
Are you in the market for a new home or considering remodeling your current home? Schmidt Homes and Schmidt Homes Remodeling should be your first and last call. Schmidt Homes, known for their innovative designs, uncompromising quality and craftsmanship, superior service, while maintaining their reputation of fairness, honesty, and integrity for over 30 years. They're the only builder in the area to offer an in-house designer and a showroom to make your selections. They have over 30 new building lots available in Northfield. Check out their website at schmidthomes.com for more information.
Many of us would love an extra flexible way to earn money. Benjamin Bus and Northfield Lines have many driving positions available, including vans that won't require a CDL, small and regular-sized school buses, and motor coaches. These positions offer flexible hours, days off when kids are out of school. You can even bring your kids to work with you. Benjamin Bus and Northfield Lines offer on-site training and testing, along with wages up to $21 an hour. No experience necessary. Stop by Benjamin Bus on Highway 3 in Northfield, and we'll be happy to answer any questions.
Paul Ryland here from Johnson Ryland Homes. Just want to give you a quick update on our projects. We have projects in Cannon River Valley Estates, in Dundas, Hills of Spring Creek, in Northfield, Pete's Hill, and Elko, and then a new project we're just starting in Bluffview. It's still a great time to build. You might find that building a new house would offer more value than anything else in this marketplace right now. So give us a call today, and we can sit down and tell you about it. Hit our website today, jrbr.builders, or give us a call, 507-366-1288. Johnson Ryland Builders and Remodelers, where custom-built homes meet your budget and your dreams.
Welcome back to Raider Wrap. Hey, everybody, it's about 13 minutes in front of 11 o'clock, and we got sunny skies, 22, beautiful, on the way to 32 today, cooling off to around 14 tonight, sunny skies tomorrow and 32, and then Sunday night, cooling off around 20, sunny skies and 41 on Monday, before the moisture sets in and things change just ever so likely. Today is, of course, Saturday, March 26th. It's the 85th day of the year already. Can you believe that? Unbelievable. Well, we were able to catch up with A.J. Reister here earlier in the week. He was able to track down our swim team, or at least a couple of the guys that were able to get to state this year. It's this week's Meet the Raider right here on KYMN. A.J., what did you find out?
Welcome back to the Raider Wrap. I'm A.J. Reister, Raider Class of 2022. And today, it is Owen Lemkuhl and Aiden Hales joining me in the studio, captains of the boys swim and dive team boys. How you two doing today?
Doing great.
Doing very well.
That's good to hear. It's been a couple weeks since the end of the season now. How you guys kind of been feeling since that?
Haven't been doing too much. I got Ultimate coming up, so I'm organizing some things for that. But besides that, just been staying in shape, plugging along with some homework, making some progress for the year. So
nice.
Yeah, pretty much the same. Just trying to keep up with homework, and then kind of also just trying to stay in shape, just so I like don't like deteriorate.
Yeah. So I mean, definitely was, you know, every day after school you got in shape, but. Also, we went from 100 to nothing real quick. So
yeah.
It's a quick drop off. But let's talk about the season a little bit. You guys were at the state meet a few weeks ago up at the University of Minnesota. How fun was that to swim in the University of Minnesota again, second time this season? Kind of talk about that experience a little bit.
Yeah. Well, it's always a great spot to go swim. Really nice facility. And, like, just the energy there whenever you have a big meet, it's just... Mm-hmm. It's a pretty big highlight of the season for sure. But yeah, it was nice to go in the go get in that water, wrap it up for the last time. So yeah.
How'd it feel for you, Aiden?
It felt pretty good. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, it was after my last swim, it felt I felt pretty emotional, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
Like it hit me a lot harder than I thought it was gonna. And, like, I saw other seniors up there that swam and then their last swim, and, like, you could definitely tell that they also felt pretty much the same way, that, like, it felt too soon to be over, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a tough feeling when the season's over, you know, and all that stuff, but no better way to end your career than going up to the state, beating, competing, so that's always a great highlight. But you two were two of the, what was there, like three or four or five seniors that were up there at the state meet. I know it was you two and Connor were starters on the lineup, and then Garrett and Tanner were alternates, I believe.
Yeah, I think so.
But then the rest of the lineup was underclassmen, eighth graders, freshmen, sophomores. Yeah. So how impressive was that as captains for you guys to see those underclassmen get up there to the state meet so young and know that they have quite a few years left?
It was pretty interesting to see, especially like the people we knew were pretty up and coming, like the freshmen. Mm-hmm. I think one of the freshmen actually swam out of like that group of four of them that have been breaking records like for the past couple of years. Oliver swam, and then the rest of them came up as alternates. I think that it's definitely like, I really want to see like their senior year, like swimming like the medley relay. Honestly, it was just awesome to watch. And then, you know, it's always fun to watch Jens cast and just compete with these, like, private school guys and be like, yeah, just a sophomore, you know, vibing. It's honestly amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always really great to see just, like, those younger guys really develop into a role on the team. I feel like, at least for me, that was the most fun part of being on the swim team, was, like, I kind of, like, grinded for a spot and then, like, earned my keep, which is really fun. So it's really great to see those guys kind of find their spot and develop into a full swimmer. It was nice.
Yeah, and you got a bright future ahead.
Oh,
those boys.
No doubt. Oh, man. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. And they're so young, so talented already. Jen's breaking school records left and right.
He's so proud of him.
Oh, honestly. Yeah. He's growing up so fast. But, yeah, it's pretty awesome to see those guys. So for everyone else who's sticking around, they have quite the show to watch while we watch from a distance from wherever we all are.
Oh, yeah.
But now taking a step back just to the overall season, what was kind of your biggest takeaway from the season overall?
I feel like this year more than other years, it was like I definitely felt that role of that burden on me the whole time, where it's I'm being relied on and like kind of a more key part of the team, where like last year and the years before that, I was definitely a cog in the machine, but I like flew under the radar and I don't know, like, I was kind of working in the background, but this year I definitely felt that pressure to kind of step up and claim responsibility, especially for some of those really close ones. It was a lot of pressure to perform, but it was also made it more rewarding in the end, but it was just a different flavor this year.
Yeah. How about you, Aiden? What was your biggest takeaway from the season?
I think my biggest takeaway from this season is, in previous years, I was only on the swim team during high school, so for those 4 years, but being a captain was like my biggest takeaway, was being able to kind of be more involved in like these guys' lives, you know, and like you want them to do well. I mean, just like anybody walking up to them saying, oh, you did a good job. But like, I feel like as like a captain too, like going up to them and like saying that they did a good job, hearing from parents that like they appreciate what you do is just something that is awesome. And like Owen said, like the past couple of years, like you're kind of just like a cog in the machine. You're like in varsity B or C relays. And then this year you get moved up to A relays because of like our graduating class and stuff like that. And it feels different. But I mean, at the same time, it felt good, especially like there were sections where it was pretty neck and neck with West. Just like that hand touch just out of nowhere.
Yeah. Oh, I think that was well, our dual meet against them was really close.
Oh, yeah.
And then for true team sections, it was a really close meet with them again. So.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just awesome to see. And I don't know. I guess I never really understood in previous years about relationship with Mankato East. And it just was super cool to kind of be a part of that this year.
Just being a seniors and captains, you kind of finally got the full view from up top, which was different.
Yeah, I really like the point that Aiden made about just, like, seeing, like, being more involved in the younger guys' lives. Like, I remember older captains like Brian Rodriguez. I don't know, just some of those guys. That's one, for example. He was also the captain of the ultimate team. So mm-hmm. I was with him quite a bit, and he was a good role model for me. But it was really fun to be like kind of in similar situations where just asking for kids will come up to me asking for advice, or I don't know. It's nice to like check in with them and have a little bit mm-hmm. of a closer relationship. So
yeah. And getting that feedback from the parents too is
that's great.
Just makes it come full circle and make you feel even better on the inside. For sure. Which is great.
Absolutely. I mean, Owen said with like the younger guys too. I mean, it's really interesting because like you'll see yourself talking to them, and then you'll remember like a previous captain from like your early mm-hmm. years doing the same thing for you, and it feels good. It's just like a feel good moment, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
definitely. And what was your favorite memory from the season? We had a lot of close dual meets, had a lot of success at the big meets, but what was your favorite memory from this season?
I mean, for me, I think it was that dual meet with Makedo. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just you could not have drawn it up anymore. Like
no.
It was just like the peak of excitement at that very last race. So yeah. And it was great to be a part of that last race, but obviously, like Jens was the main the main star of the show there. But that man, it was fun to watch. So
I cried after that when we won because it was our last home senior meet too.
Yeah, it was
in the way that we were able to win it. I cried. It was pretty great. Awesome.
I think my favorite memory from this season is kind of a toss up between the Super Bowl party, just because you get to hang out with all these guys and outside of the training setting, and then the Winona meet. And I mean, mm-hmm. I think for me, that meet was awesome, being that it just like kind of marked like this turnaround point. Not that like we started winning or losing more, but like this turnaround point where it was this team collective. We need to support our teammates, and we had everybody off the chairs on behind lanes, mm-hmm. screaming, cheering them on, and it was honestly intense to watch. And I don't know, it's awesome to see that.
Just kind of have that turning point in the midpoint of the season, like, hey, we know we're good, and now we have everyone off the benches, and they know that we're good. So just having that turning point in the middle of the season I agree, that was really fun.
Well, especially with the last couple of years, like sophomore year, we weren't really affected by the COVID thing, mm-hmm. but like we had graduated these really prestigious kind of guys as captains. And not saying that the captains, like, sophomore year didn't try to recreate that, but like, the last time, like, I think I really remember, like, people being behind the blocks, you know, doing that cheer mm-hmm. was probably freshman year, really, because we weren't allowed to do it junior year because of COVID. And then sophomore year, we just graduated so many people.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those points in...
Yeah, it's like the life cycle of the team.
Yeah, life cycle of the team. Yeah. That's a good way to put it. You know, it's kind of one of those life cycles. You graduate those big guys that have been a part of the team for so long. Now it's time for the next guys to step up. And like you said, that freshman year, that was the last time the team went to state. And we took third at the... Right? Was it third at the state meet, or was that a different time?
I can't remember exactly. It might have even been second.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
Yeah.
But I know we did really well up at the state meet.
Those guys were animals.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, they were. And now they're breaking college records, too.
Yeah, I just saw Becker.
Yeah, Andrew Becker breaking Mayak records.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. How long have you guys been a part of this high school swim team?
For me, it was eighth grade year I hopped in. But yeah, one thing that was really great, I think, over like the whole like kind of process of being on the team, was at least for me, it was I got like the full experience of just I trained with like pretty much everyone on the team at one point or not. Like I started out really, really low and then slowly got faster throughout the years. So I got a nice whole chunk. I got to see like everything the team has to offer. So I'm really glad I did that. But
how long have you been part of the team, Aiden?
I've only been on the team since freshman year. So like it doesn't feel as long as maybe some of the other guys like put it.
Yeah.
But I think my favorite memories is just because you remember people that swam with you freshman year and then they didn't come back the next year. And it was just honestly the best part was seeing the seventh graders come in that are now freshmen. And you watched them from their seventh grade all the way up until this point and seeing the new guys come in, because then you know that like this culture that you've built and helped thrive is hopefully going to continue, you know. So,
yeah, for sure. It's just so great watching those guys grow up too. Like,
it's a highlight of just like anything in my opinion.
Yeah, I'd have to 100% agree with that. It's awesome to see. obviously you guys are seniors this year, and you talked about how a lot of those younger guys, you know, look up to you, talk to you guys. Who were the upperclassmen when you guys first started out that you guys looked up to way back? For you, Owen, eighth grade year, you, Aiden, freshman year, who were kind of those guys that really stuck with you and were really those guys that you are now today to some of the younger guys?
I mean, yeah, like I said B-Rod earlier, but that still stands. He's just like... Yeah. He's the epitome of a great leader. I don't know, just emotionally and physically, he just tends to his team's needs and just gets it all done, which is really great. But yeah, there was also, like Aiden was saying, there's those really strong, like, athletic leaders that we've had come through here for the last few years. The Becker, just that whole era, like Marcus and everyone like that. And there's too many names to really name all of them, but they all have a big impact. And they kind of like lay the groundwork for kind of what you should shoot for. Mm-hmm. As an athlete, and then also just they did a great job, like,